Hello, listeners. Hello, world. And hello, Bendos.
Mark, how are you, mate?
Fantastic, mate. Jeez, long time between read pods.
It's certainly
podcast. What has been happening, buddy?
Mate, I have been absolute flat stick with work. So just everything's coming to a close now. I'm on, I guess, holidays again. I went back after 2 weeks holidays, did a couple of days, and now I've got a week off before I make the big move to the fucking big smoke.
Yeah, and when you say flat stick with work, you've just had a holiday.
Yeah, no, like before that. So the last few months has been pretty hectic because I did a little bit of travel and then just kind of making up for lost time and just kind of preparing myself. I've been doing a little bit extra with my boss just to try to prepare myself for my next role with the company. So yeah, moving to Tokyo and got to start doing a bit more management and less teaching, which will be a new experience, but I think something that I'll have no problem with, other than just adjusting to getting forced onto a train every day.
Yeah, and you were, last time we were sort of speaking, you were saying trying to find a place in Tokyo was getting pretty hard. Have you found a joint or?
I found a place. The last time we were speaking was when you were here and I was having a couple of wig outs going, oh, where am I going to live? I've got 6 weeks until the girl moves and we actually get a place. So I just need to find myself like a monthly apartment furnished. So for people that don't know, Japan does things a little bit different in regards to when people start a new job. It's like starting, I guess it's the same as the start of the new university year, the new school year. Everyone starts or transfers April 1st. And a lot of people are moving to and moving out of Tokyo, but it's just a shit fight to try to find somewhere to live. So luckily I found somewhere. I've still got to live in a hotel for a week, but other than that, I'm pretty much sorted.
Does that mean that's the time that they get promoted?
Yeah, so it's everything. So new recruits start. So university graduates will start in new companies and all the restructuring. So if there's, it's really different. So a lot of companies will put you somewhere for 2 or 3 years. So you might be an accountant, for example, and your company's in Osaka, Tokyo, Nagoya, anywhere in Japan. And they might go, okay, we want you, you've started your as an accountant or in the accounting department. We're now going to put you in sales just to get you well-rounded. So we're going to send you to Tokyo. So you don't have a choice in the matter. A lot of people move away from their families. The company provides just like a room, an apartment for them. And that's their life for the next few years. So, yeah, completely different to Australia.
So if you miss that little window, are you fucked? As far as, going for a new job or coming out of uni, if you miss that window, does that mean, you're just basically having a gap year?
Pretty much. Like, I wouldn't know we're facts here. So let's say it's 90%.
We're facts.
80-90% of the jobs.
Throw out percentages, Dave.
Yeah. Let's say a high percentage is that time, is April 1st, everyone starts. And I didn't realise that when I accepted the job, being dumb, not really knowing what's going on. I passed up the job to start. Original offer was for the 1st of January. I thought, I don't want to move over the new year. I'll take the next one because my company does it quarterly for the job that I applied for. And then we got into the process. Okay, let's look at moving. Got the moving costs. I've just gone, fuck that, Sarah. I'm not paying. It was almost $5,000 to move.
Sure.
Just the timing because supply and demand. Everyone's moving. So we just kind of all right, you just stay here for another month and we'll move in May, and it drops down to $2,000.
Oh, that's good. That's solid.
Yeah. So I thought, well, I may as well just do that. I'll find myself something. It'll be a piece of piss. And as you were aware with my freakouts, it wasn't a piece of piss. But I did find something. So, yeah. And it's not too far from work. It's kind of in a good spot, a couple of minutes to the station, taking 15 minutes to get to work, which is I'm paying for it. But just for that peace of mind, pretty good to have right now.
Yeah, definitely, man. And today, huge comeback pod, really. A lot of long-time listeners have been singing for some gambling back in their lives. So we're gonna hit them hard with the Quicksilver Pro Gold Coast Reed Pod gambling preview, which is gonna blow them away.
Yeah, it's an exclusive, really. Like, you pretty much need exclusive to be fucking listening to this.
We should be getting paid for this shit. And before that, we're gonna discuss the fight for the bite with Equinor mining and what they're doing in Australia and how the resistance has been going with that. And wrapping it all up, after that, we're going to go into Facebook, have a discussion about their sort of potential ventures into currency and having a currency side of their platform. And as we said, rounding it all off with your gambling fucking winners everywhere, the winners everywhere.
Yeah, and while we're on the gambling, I'd love to know, you sent me some a couple of videos of you're on the way to Melbourne last week. So yes. just in regards to how infuriated you were with your the person sitting next to you, tell me a little bit about that on the plane.
Yeah, definitely. I seem to get stitched up quite frequently next to people, which, yeah, it's frustrating. And this time I got sat next to a guy who pulled open his laptop and took his headphones off and played a movie through his speakers the whole way down. And he was fidgety the whole way through, sort of watching it. It was really weird. And then he did the classic land on the tarmac and picked up his phone and started making calls while you're on the tarmac. And I mean, unless your wife is going into labor or it's a family emergency, even though they let you make calls on the tarmac, I don't think you should be.
No, it's one of those things. It's like, oh, you can, but...
Like, you can check your fucking phone, but it doesn't mean, hey, pick up your phone and start making work calls. And his first work call was like, oh, there's a $150,000 deal on the go. Fucking all this shit. I was just like, oh, my God. And, yeah.
Did he have headphones in for the phone call? Or was this just on loudspeaker so I could fucking hear?
Yeah, he had headphones in on the phone call. He decided to put his headphones in on the phone call. And then I guess, you know, had a little flutter at the Crown Casino down there on the first night when we got in after the football.
Yeah, how did you go?
It went really well for a bit. And then I had another interesting gambling-related issue, you could say. I had a stalker, a machine stalker.
Ooh, it's interesting. I just watched I was watching Friends, and it was the lurker.
Of course you were.
My missus is watching, got me watching Friends because it's good for her English, and there was Darren Vegas, and it was the one about the lurker.
What's the lurker?
So the lurker is waiting for you, like just kind of peeking behind the machine, waiting for until you lose, then you fucking get out of the chair and then they fuck straight onto it.
So I'd won a decent chunk of change on Texas Bonus.
Yep.
And I'd won enough to basically pay for the weekend. And then I was walking past a machine with a friend of the show, brother-in-law, Travis, and I was walking past the machine and I thought, oh, yeah, look, I'll have a little dabble. It can't hurt. And I put a bit of money in the machine and this man appeared behind me. And I just looked at him and I'm like, okay. And then I lost X amount of dollars and then put a bit more in and he was still there. And then I've just looked at him, I've like given him the look like, hey, fuck off, you're ruining my mojo. And then he proceeded to stay, but I did the big sort of, I made the big error of trying to beat him by feeding all of my money into the machine. And it didn't work. And I subsequently lost a large amount of money on the first night. And then,
Yeah. Did he sneak in after you though and play, or was he just interested in the big dog?
Nah, he was ready to sneak in. He was a classic lurker slash stalker of the machine. I'm sure he would have, but I couldn't look back at the machine after I left it, so I didn't even look.
Best to do that. Was there any conversation, or was it just?
There was conversation because the amount of money I put through it, I was there for a considerable period of time and he was there for a considerable period of time. And I was like, at the stage, I was saying, hey, mate, get the fuck off my shoulder. What are you doing here? And he'd go and then he'd come back again. To be honest, I actually think the casinos should ban that.
100%. You're like, you're there. You do want to be anonymous in some sense, that you don't want someone to.
Well, like, they don't let photos get taken of the tables.
Yeah.
So they won't let a photo get taken of the table, but they'll let a guy stand behind you and watch you lose. And so they can swoop in with their $10 and fucking win all your money.
Interesting. I think there should be something there. That's on the casino. Like, what do you need a security button on the thing and just say, get this fuckwit away from me?
Yeah, your own little security button. You probably do. But yeah, it was good. Crown's a wild little establishment.
And how was the races? So that the reason you were down there?
Yeah, for the races. Yeah, it was good. It's a bit of a tragic end, actually. A horse was racing and had to get put down.
Yeah. It's part of the game, unfortunately, with horse racing, isn't it?
It is part of the game, but I saw the ankle of the horse break off as it was running, and it's sort of thrown me into a bit of a spin with all that and whether I really can support it. And I mean, I know we see like cattle trucks driving past, you know, on the daily, you know, with cows and sheep in it, and we don't blink an eye, but I don't think two wrongs make a right. And then they're pumping these horses full of so many drugs. I'm sort of a bit off it.
Yeah, which is understandable. Like when you see something like that, it puts things into perspective. When you don't see it and you're winning money off them, you're thinking, oh, this is great.
The ankle snapped off completely and they put a towel over it, a cover over it, not a towel, like a sheet over it, and they put it to sleep right there on the truck.
Yeah.
And it's really, really hard to watch.
That is, like, it's amazing that in this day and age they can't actually recover from that.
I don't think it's the recovery. I think it's more it's the money. But, dude, the ankle was gone. When I said ankle. Like it removed it. You could see like half of its leg was gone.
Oh, okay. So it actually like just snapped. Wow.
Snapped off, man. Yeah.
That's gnarly, huh? It's like seeing a wheel of a racing car go. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It was fucking. So yeah, I'm done with it. I'm done with horse racing. I'm not betting on it anymore. So.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that was that. That was a bit of a downer. But other than that, it was good.
Good weekend in Melbourne. Good to be home, though.
You're always good to be home, mate. Always good to be home. So, Equinor. Equinor's big plan for the Great Bite of Australia. Lots of people have been seeing it probably. Lots of surfers, I reckon, have been seeing it on you know, Stab or Surfer.com. Or it's been big in the surfing industry because, you know, these oil rigs and these offshore oil rigs have been known to completely, when things go bad, completely destroy the aquatic environment around them. And Equinor planned to drill in the Great Australian Bight. Equinor is a Norwegian oil company. I was just going to read quickly an article from surfer.com, which I wouldn't usually quote, but this is actually just sums it up really, really well. So the folks down under have not taken this whole Norwegian oil company drilling their pristine southern waters thing lightly. Over the past month, in response to would-be oil driller Equinor's environmental draft plan for the Great Australian Bight, Australians have blitzed social media. They've paddled out in mass protests, and their professional surfing royalty even banded together to issue a statement condemning the plan. Aside from the very important task of simply raising public awareness for this issue, the bulk of protest efforts have been to direct people to comment on the environmental draft plan via the National Offshore Petroleum Safety and Environmental Management Authority, which offered a period of 30 days for people to weigh in on the issue, which is coming up shortly, I believe. So after that 30 days, basically it's decided whether they can move forward. And actually start drilling. So what happens next? Matters that are relevant to the environmental management of the proposed activity must now be addressed within the Equinor's revised environment plan. And Equinor will prepare a report detailing how they have considered the relevant comments and identify amendments made to the environment plan as a result of comments received. So to me, that basically just means they're going to get the comments and they're going to still be fucking doing this.
Yeah, so they're going to, the comments will come on board, they'll go and restructure whatever they've got, say, okay, no, it's definitely not going to do this, which is just bullshit, and they'll just pretty much. So the question is, so the Australian government is the one that has the deciding.
Of course. Question. Yeah, which they've pretty much decided, because it's got to this point, they've pretty much, you know, said, yeah, it's cool or whatever.
Yeah. And I haven't looked, I for me, not being in Australia, and my social media has been flooded with it, and I've had a little bit, I signed up to it straight away. And like the company itself is meant to be a renewable energy company, but that's the what they're putting out to the public. I'm reading into it, they're just dirty as dirty can be, and it's quite chilling, really, what the potential issues that could arise from it.
They're not only dirty. I just don't see why we need big oil in Australia. And then you're going to get some people going, oh, the fucking jobs, the Western Australian mining industry's died and all this. I don't care.
Mm.
Like, I literally don't care. If you look at one of the largest oil spills, which is the oil spill off the Gulf of Mexico, the Deepwater Horizon oil spill, which was by BP, that is still like causing extensive damage to the coastline and all of the surrounding areas. And they reckon it's actually still leaking slightly. So to sort of sit here and just be like, think about jobs or think about, and when you talk about money, what do we fucking get about it? What does the Australian public get? And if people are talking about, you know, money or, you know, potential tax breaks or some shit, what are we going to see from this?
Yeah,
we're going to see nothing. We're talking jobs. Okay, so jobs, they're going to get jobs. Go do something else.
Yeah, there's plenty. And if the whole thing with this, we can see that what Australia's done with their mining, they've sold it all offshore. There's no sustainability about it. They fucked it when they had the chance to do it right to start with. Look at Queensland, for an example.
Mm.
Like they Queensland could be one of the richest, and Australia in general could be one of the richest countries. We are so filled with resources, but we're so looking at tomorrow, not looking at the future. That where's the quick buck for the government?
quick buck. And if they destroy the Great Australian Bite through a fucking, through oil mining, it'll be absolutely devastating. And, you know, lots of people online have been talking about it. Anyone that's been there, that is one of the most beautiful places on earth.
Yeah, well, you see a lot of the, like, I know people that go down there and surf, and it's amazing. It's got everything. And then the species that live in those waters, you know, you've got everything. It's just an amazing part of the world. Why would you – I just don't understand why you would try to even consider the idea of just trying to make a quick dollar to benefit a fucking international overseas company.
And the other thing with it is, you know, we're at this point, I feel, where, like, everyone's protesting or everyone's talking about shit or doing posts. And, you know, there was a huge uproar, obviously, recently about John Howard supporting fucking pedophile George Pell. But what are we actually doing? I feel like, and I don't want to call to arms here, obviously, but these methods of protest and these methods of awareness are not doing anything to stop this shit.
Yeah, great. It's just...
I get it. Like, it's gone crazy on social media, and I think that's great, and I think it's, you know, more power. But what is it actually doing? Are we actually making any real change? How can we actually get in Scott Morrison's fucking face and say to him, mate, if you do this, you know, the whole of the public, the Australian public, is gonna revolt against you?
Yeah, this is a big one. This is make or break.
This is make or break, but we're coming off a couple of big decisions that the Australian government didn't really react that well to, being obviously the George Pell thing, and we had Tony Abbott and John Howard supporting George Pell. That's a very huge issue in this country, in countries across the world where children are abused. That was a big opportunity for our government to fucking say enough is enough.
Let's stand
fuck
up
these fucking people. Instead, we've got John Howard supporting this prick. What did we do? We talked about it on shitty podcasts like the Reed Pod. We put some posts online, but what did that really get us? Where did that take us? And it's the same sort of thing that I feel that's happening with this. I feel like this is going to be another one where they just go, okay, we'll make amendments to the environmental action plan and we'll roll over and we'll just do it.
Mm.
Which, we do fuck mining off in Australia. I know the industry. I Googled it recently. I think it employs 225,000 people, which is a huge fucking amount of people. But yeah, I don't know.
So do you think as well that this is, you know, the people that are talking about it are surfers, the majority of the people that are talking about it as surfers. Do you think that because it's still surfers, to the average politician, a surfer is still seen as a fucking bum, a hippie fucking pot smoking bum. To those kind of things, do you think that it's not taken as serious because it's surfers protesting it?
I think that's an interesting topic. And that's an interesting way to look at it. Like, I mean, I think Mick Fanning's got behind it, Parker and all that. But I don't think the government takes those guys seriously at all. Yeah, I think you're right, man. I think you're right. There was that big paddle out at Burley. Did you see that recently?
Yeah, I did.
Which I think it's all good, and I think it's all raising awareness. But I'm just hesitant to think, where are we going with all of this? I know... good friend of the show, Bez is pretty passionate, and he's been really onto this from day one. And he probably knows about sort of where the resistance with it is going. But yeah, I'd like to see. I think we need to step up our protest to all this shit.
So do you think, instead of a paddle out, Why wouldn't you just protest at fucking Parliament House?
Yeah, why wouldn't you protest at Parliament House? Why wouldn't you maybe...
You're in the surf, people. Oh, what are those guys doing? They're just out there surfing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Or looking at different alternatives, I really don't know.
Mm.
Voting for... Obviously, you use your voting power, if that can help.
It just seems that it's not... because it's not so mainstream and it's not affecting the mainstream society, it doesn't get looked at as closely, if that makes sense.
No, well, like the Liberal government just got elected back in New South Wales, like pretty easily. And, you know, people aren't looking at alternatives. And I guess it is about voting. But then it's also a lot of it should be like, I think we need to turn off a lot of this social media stuff. We had a big pod, me and Soz, the other week on this whole social media shit. I don't know. I think we've got to find a different way to protest. I'm a bit of a loss with it. I hope all the boys that are fighting it, at least I'm not knocking them because I think that's amazing.
No, I think they're doing a great job. Like, it's just how can they step it up so that their voice is heard?
Yeah, and I'm not knocking Parco or like any of those. Like, maybe they should be doing a protest at the first WSL event.
Yeah, that would really get the media involved.
Yeah, so at that event, maybe they should all wear like black jerseys or like, which like shows the oil spill color, like or something like that, and just like fucking be like, nah, we're all or wear black bodies or something. It needs more exposure.
Yeah.
It's getting there. But like a lot of mining, you know, I looked at the website and, you know, for Greenpeace, and there was a lot of commenters just saying, oh, fuck you. WA mining's got people have no jobs and all this sort of shit. And it's like, oh, so do taxi drivers, eh?
Drivers. So do a lot of people.
So what about the printing industry that's changed? Like, I'm sorry, look, what about the finance industry where people like made money out of home loans? Like, what about like industries change, unfortunately? But if you fuck with the Australian bite or if you fuck with our natural resources, that will never come back.
Yeah, and what, to line the – you look at these people that are complaining about the mining industry being dead, it's the ones that didn't do it fucking smart. You had a chance if you went to the mines and were doing that in WA.
You're right.
You don't need to be fucking working. You could have set yourself up but you were sitting there fucking smashing piss, gambling and doing whatever. It's your fault that you don't have work and that you don't have a dollar to sit on. That's not anyone else's.
And a side note, I worked in the mining industry and blew every dollar I had and I did it.
Yeah. But that's the lifestyle, isn't it? For a lot of people.
It's a lifestyle and to be honest, like having worked in the mining industry, it even makes me realize how bad it is, even on a larger scale. Like I can't even look at it. It's bad. So, yeah, I guess that's what's happening with it. I don't know what day is D-Day for it as far as they've got to respond to this proposal. Equinox's got to respond to the comments. Another protest paddle planned on the 24th in Melbourne. Yeah,
there was one in Melbourne the weekend just gone. I saw that. I thought it was all finishing around the 20th when the month was up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be – I think this is something we should follow quite closely and see what happens, see if there is anything done by, you know, you've got WSL in Australia for the next – what have they got?
For the next couple of them.
Gold Coast, Bowls.
Margaret River.
Margaret River.
So you still have Margaret River?
Yeah, actually, I think they are. We'll get into that a little bit later because that's interesting. It's an interesting topic to have a chat about. But yeah, they've got, there are these glorious location, especially, you know, the Gold Coast isn't as affected and it's a bit, you know, far away from this, but you've got Bells and Margaret River that are actually, with those plans, directly affected if something was to go wrong. So they've got these opportunities, whether it's too late by that time. But yeah, as long as they can hold this up as long as possible, it's great that people are doing something. But what else can they do to actually just really stop this? Like, rather than, I don't know, it's a tough one.
It is interesting, and I've mentioned this quite a bit recently. It's like they are all good with being so serious about not letting David Icke come into the country and people due to free speech rights, yet they are cool for a Norwegian mining company to come in and mine and rape the shit out of our coastline. I just don't understand how those comparisons can't be seen as just completely idiotic.
Completely idiotic.
Like, it's crazy. And they say, so one website's saying 1,000 jobs, but then some website's saying up to 9,000 jobs will be made from it. Well, who gives a shit? 9,000 jobs.
You know, go do something sustainable for something else and create those jobs. Jobs can be created by the government if they fucking want them to be done.
The Deepwater Horizon bill has had civil settlements and payouts up to $42 billion. So
that money doesn't bring back the area and doesn't change anything. You can pay people and who's that money going to?
Oh, exactly. But the spill area hosts 8,332 species. This is a Deepwater Horizon spill, including turtles, fucking everything. You know, if you look into the catastrophic effect of what's happened here, if that even happens anywhere in our country to any small scale, it's not worth 100, it's not worth 200, 300,000 jobs. It's not worth any of it because you got animals dying.
It's worth nothing. You're ruining a beautiful country. You can't put a price on that. And that's like, does that $42 billion go to the turtles? No. Probably goes to the governments in the affected areas, which doesn't go to the people affected.
But they say it's very low, the risk with Equinor's mine. Very low is too high.
Exactly. Any risk is...
If it's very low, well then, no thank you. Like, that's fucking crazy. Yeah. Like, there's no way I want that anywhere near.
Yeah. What did this BP say when they did the plans for in the deep?
Exactly.
Oh, it's a very low risk. What happens?
Exactly.
Any risk is there. You know, you only need to have a big storm that comes, and you look at that area that cops some of the biggest swells known to fucking man.
Mm.
You know, it's, yeah, think you're not going to have any trouble? Think again.
Yeah, and you look at the oil spill in the US and that happened there, and it was the worst environmental disaster in American history. And Obama said, we will make BP pay for the damage their company has caused. Well, you can't. You can't.
No, there's no fix.
It's too late.
Exactly.
It's too late. Like, what are you doing?
But this is what the governments think, that they think that money can fix things. You can't fix these things with money. You can't fix the environment with money. Should we not know that with how the world's going? That a little bit of money isn't going to change something that's done to the environment.
No. I mean, we need to be more vocal and more aggressive as to how we're acting with this sort of shit, because it's just not, we can't let these people get away with this bullshit.
Yeah. But yeah, let's follow this one and do a bit of a comeback to it at some point, because yeah, it'd be interesting to see where it goes and what happens with their response.
Definitely. So moving on, Facebook are getting into the money trading business, the currency business, the crypto/currency business, which is something that many people have speculated would be happening. They've obviously, I think it's WhatsApp or WeChat.
WeChat in China has pretty much done it in China.
Yeah, so WeChat, they've got something like how many trillion of dollars of transactions? 10 trillion payments per year being used over their platform. Yeah. And Facebook apparently are trying to execute the same playbook. What's your thoughts on all this?
Going through it and with the where I see that how Facebook's going to do it is there's for the money remittance, like to send money freely. And this is, I guess, one of the big thing. And I don't know enough about crypto. I'm not well versed in it, but if anyone has tried to send money between countries, you know, it's a pain in the ass.
Oh, and, it's a total pain in the ass.
And you look at, you know, they say that Facebook's going to, their experiment's going to be India, where pretty much they've got the highest rate of money getting sent back to the families from people living overseas. If that can save them money, why isn't someone else doing it? But it's a shame that Facebook's doing it because the idea itself is quite reasonable.
The idea itself is reasonable, but the idea of Facebook having another monopoly over another part of your life, being your wallet, so now your phone, your wallet, pretty much your whole setup, I don't like.
Yeah, I don't like that control.
No, but I mean, I don't use Facebook, so it's my big thing is with all of this, like instead of whinging about Facebook or YouTube censoring shit or what they're doing, just turn it off. Just don't use it. Just delete. Fucking, you'll be fine. Like 20 years ago, we didn't have anything and we sent texts and it was the best, like most incredible thing that ever happened, a text message. Like you don't miss posting shit on these platforms.
Yeah, there was something that came up the other day. This is a side note with Facebook that did you see something about the deleting of texts? Deleting of like Messenger texts or because what do they got? WhatsApp and Messenger and whatnot. So for so long, the elite in Facebook have been able to, you know, send a message and it gets deleted. They can delete it if they want. So they're going to introduce that you get 10 minutes. So if you send something, then you got 10 minutes to delete it.
And so, then what if you don't delete it? They delete it?
No. Like, say if you're drunk and you send a stupid message, you can
delete it.
Yeah. So
that's like email recall.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
I had to use that a few times.
Yeah, I can imagine you've used that a few times. Not a bad idea, but the only reason they're doing it is because people found out that it was available. Yeah, but apparently Zuckerberg's been able to do it for God knows how long, and I know you can do it online over here. It's similar to WeChat, and yeah, just a side note, but.
It's interesting. And I mean, I don't use the platform. I don't even see what it's like. So I don't even know what's good or bad about it. I'm sure they're going to want a piece of our money though, and which is what they're obviously doing. So whatever.
Yeah, I see the benefits of it, which I don't know why someone else can't do this. But when you've got control of such a huge market, and I guess the idea of what Facebook is trying to do with this crypto of their own is that once you've got it in Facebook, they're going to create ways that you're spending it on Facebook. So they're going to make it harder and harder and harder for you then to spend your money elsewhere. So they'll get you sucked in. You've got all this crypto in here, and then they're going to turn around and go, so now
you can pay your phone bill or you can
only pay your phone bill to this company, which is a Facebook company.
Exactly.
So you can only do this with this. Oh, if you want to buy your groceries, you have to use this company. But they monopolize the market very quickly, and it'll happen under our nose. And people are oblivious to what actually goes on. That's where they kind of sneak through.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I think we need less faith in the online world. I think all this like rhetoric where people are like, oh, you know, YouTube should be allowing anyone to do anything and Facebook should be doing this. Like, they're private entities and they're fucking horrible businesses. They're out to make a profit and they're just using you. And you don't, like, I'm still lost at this whole feeling of why people feel like they have to be a part of it.
Because they don't want to miss out. It's sheep. Sheep mentality.
I know, but how, it's so stupid. It's,
yeah.
Like, I get it, but it's so...
So I had a conversation with a guy, when was it, on Saturday? And I said, when was the last time you went a week without touching your phone or using the internet? And he goes, never. When he said, I think his response was, when was the internet created? Which is fucking insane. Like, last year when I went with Evan and we went to the Cook Islands, the one place that has the worst internet probably in the world. Like, it's the only way you can really get internet is you got to pay X amount of dollars for it, or you've got to go to the airport and you get a certain amount of time. So we would, you know, the first few days we're like, okay, you know, all we're doing there is surfing. So we had a fuckload of downtime and we worked out we couldn't get the internet. It's too hard. But you still found yourself, when you're not doing anything, picking your phone up and you'd spend like the first day, even though you knew it was too hard to actually do it, you'd still try again to try to actually get the net.
Mm.
And then after a few days, you realize, okay, I don't have the internet. You can fucking deal without having it. You do other things.
You know, we're going to find out.
The end of the world.
No, we're going to find out it's causing huge issues. I mean, we already know it is, but, you know, and my kids are wanting, like, phones and, like, as soon as they get an iPad, like my kids, like, as soon as they get an iPad in their hands, they're addicted. And it causes fights. It causes, like, it causes issues. Like, as soon as they have it, there's no question about that. It's like fucking crack.
It is. It's an addiction. There's a name for it. I don't know what the name is, but there's a name for it.
It's not needed.
Nah. Yeah. I don't know what you can do though to get away from it. We're kind of at the age where it was first, what we would have been like 18, 19 when Facebook, 20, 21, 22 when Facebook started coming out. And then the same with iPhones and stuff. But, you know, for your kids, it's there. Everyone has it. You know, parents are putting an iPad in front of their kid so they can enjoy a nice meal. How do you get away from that?
Very difficult.
Yeah. So as a parent, like for you, what do you have any ways that you...
I just ban it. Ban the iPads, like I just say, and then they act like they behave way better. As soon as not that my kids are on it all the time, because they're not, because we only let them on it sometimes, but I ban it. And as soon as I ban it, they're out riding their bike.
Yeah, they're quick to think.
As soon as it goes down, they're on something like skateboarding or riding their bike.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's their first reaction when you say, yep, no iPads? Do they kick up a little bit of a stink?
Massive stink. But then they slowly realize that, it's not. Yeah. They don't realize, they're over it pretty quickly. But the bad behavior related to the iPad and all that, there's a direct correlation. Like, they're good kids when they're not looking at that. I think it's the blue light, apparently. Mm. Like the blue resonating from the iPhone. It's meant to be fucked for your head.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I can definitely say it is fucked for your head because I'm sitting here in front of my computer with my iPad sitting on my leg and my phone right there, and I know I'm fucked. So it's definitely fucked,
yeah. Yeah, it does. So fingers crossed they don't have a monopoly over your money as well.
But
I'm just going to get some gold and bloody trade gold.
Yeah, well, that was the whole thing that, like, with this, that they're going to, it's pretty much going to be valued on the dollar, and then it's going to be the new gold standard. And that, if that happens, that's a terrible thing to even think about. That they're controlling what the value of money is.
And it's nuts. Yeah. It's nuts.
Yeah. Speaking of money
and making lots of it.
Yeah. So we're going to do the fake 500 for the year. But first, like, what's your thoughts on the, have you had a look at the tour this year? Anyone new that it's standing out and you're thinking, oh, that's where my money lies, or you're excited about?
I'm pretty off surfing as a entire sport, which is difficult to go into some surfing betting. Doesn't mean I don't mind surfing betting, but as a sport, there's no one that interests me at all. Jack Freestone coming back on tour, I guess. He was tearing it up during the listen to this guy. He was surfing really well during the cyclone. So it will be good to see him back on tour after his year off or year or two off. But then you scroll down after him. You see a lot of names that you just.
Ryan Callinan excites me. He surfs good.
If we're talking about the Australians that are on tour, okay, Jules at the top, Jules is done. Owen Wright, yeah, sure.
Done.
Mikey Wright.
Mm.
Jack, Wade Carmichael, one of our big favourites at the Reed Pod.
We love a bit of Wade.
Yeah.
Ace?
Yeah, and then Ace isn't on there, is he?
Yeah, he's still on tour.
Is he still on tour?
Yeah. He must be the oldest person besides Kelly now on tour.
It's not so much the age, it's the fucking style of the surfing.
Yeah. Like, he's so sick, but he's not going to win a world title. Like,
he's not.
When, you know, and I guess.
And saying he surfs sick, what do you mean? Like
he surfs.
Did you watch an Ace Buchan film clip?
If he was in sick waves, yeah, but probably not.
Yeah, I wouldn't watch. I'd watch one wave of him on Insta or something.
Yeah.
He's amazing and good on him. Like, he's incredible. But compared to Buddy Felipe or Medina or John John or Julian or Italo or Geordie or Owen, Griffin, Mikey, fucking Kolohe.
Anyone
Connor
else.
Coffin, Jack Freestone, Sebastian Zietz, Yago Dora. This goes on.
So in this is pretty much the heat of the year already. Heat 7. Can you see what that is? I've just got it up here.
You going on sportsbet.com?
No, I've got both of them up. So I'm just having a look at. I just pulled up the quickie pro. Like the heat list, so for round
one. Let me have a look.
So this heat of the year.
I can't find it. What's the heat of the year?
So Connor Coffin, Ace Buchan, Jadson Andre.
Oh my god! Oh shit!
Yeah, probably Like if that was like to showcase where surfing is in 2019, it seems like it's a bit of a regression.
You think, mate, what's the argument for bringing the tour down to 15 surfers?
I think it'd be great.
or 16. Like, what are we doing with
like
all these?
Like the chicks.
Yeah, like, why have we got all these other guys who will never win a world title? What are we watching? Like, what are we trying to – what's a – I get it. Like, you're competing, but –
content. I don't know. Like, are they? Do they need to have X amount of time? But you'd much rather 16 surfers surfing in a different style format where they're all okay. You'll get four heats in round one. You know, you can and your best four waves from the four heats, and then the eight best go into the quarters and do it like that. So you're actually seeing really good surfing where they're not limited to a certain time. That would
and then just make the qualifying series a bit bigger.
Exactly.
Like just say, oh, the qualifying series is a, I don't know, like make it into a bigger deal.
Yeah, but this is meant to be the elite of the elite. Make it the elite, not make it the elite plus another 30 guys.
You know what? I really like Judson Andre as a interview. Like when he gets interviewed, he frosts so hard,
dude. As a person, great
yeah, I
person,
love him.
And look at the drive that where he's gone from.
Yeah, I
agree with
mate,
that.
Like,
but as a spectacle,
that's a huge butt. That's a huge butt.
But as a spectacle of watching surfing and what you want to see as a viewer, it's the same thing as. Like you said, would you watch their section? If you can't watch their section,
why are they in the World Championship Tour?
Yeah.
Put him on the bloody commentary team. Oh, Jay.
Put him on there. Give him a lifetime membership on the commentary team and get rid of someone else that's terrible on there.
Super emotional and he'd like, you know, there's actually no Brazilian commentators, I don't think.
I think
there's not.
There's the odd one, but get rid of Potts and put Jadson on commentary.
Potts instead of get Chatty in there. Exactly. That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah, we should start a petition.
What about your hometown hero, Canoa? How do you reckon he's going to go?
I reckon he'll go well. He surfed. I reckon he was good last year. He was consistent.
Really good.
I reckon he's a bit of a dark horse. I don't think he can win a world title. But I reckon he's got a good chance the way it's going for it to be top five.
So obviously Toledo, Medina and Florence are in a class of their own. And for some reason the odds makers have chucked Julian up there. But so we've got those three. As you drift down the odds, is there any other surfers that you feel like should be are nipping at the heels of that class? Because I've got
if he's healthy, if he's not injured. Because he can go on a tear and do the same thing as Felipe and win three events, four events in a year.
Definitely, man. Are you under the same sort of sentiment that Connor Coffin's just in the wrong era?
Yeah, 100%. Whenever I see one of his feeds on Instagram, I get rid of it because half the time he's trying to be a fucking terrible musician. So, like that.
Oh, I miss the hate. I miss the fucking honesty of the Reed Pod gambling section. And you're right, man. Like, God.
Entitlement. Just because you're a pro surfer, you've got the fucking audience doesn't mean you need to fucking show it.
Reminds me of like that guy at the party that can play three chords and just always has to bring out the guitar.
Yeah, and he's well, it's that cool guy at the party that does it. No one will say anything. Everyone's like, oh yeah, you're sick. And then the confidence just fucking gets out of control.
Oh, of course.
And then you're like, what did we create? We've created a fucking monster.
Oh man, we have. Yeah.
Other than that, on the tour, like I like Callanan.
Yeah, but you know who an old Repod favorite, Yogurt Dora.
Yogurt.
He had a shocking year last year, but he can flare. He can flare big time. Yogurt Dora at 61-1. I will be putting on $75 for him to win the Quicksilver Pro.
Yeah. That's not a bad, like if I'm going on the Quickie Pro, I'm thinking, and this is, I don't know what the banks are like after that cyclone.
I haven't really looked at it, but pretty shit. Like, there's no waves at the moment. When's the event on?
The third. So it's still a little bit away. If it's small and like they don't get a swell.
They'll be sand pumping, mate. They'll be sand pumping the shit out of it. It'll be.
But if there's no swell, someone on the backhand will win again. Mm-hmm. So in that case, it'll be someone that can go straight up on the backhand, which
is fucked. I don't want to watch that.
Don't want to watch it. But Iago can do that. Italo, there's no one else that the only
is Iago other, goofy. Iago's goofy. Yeah. Okay. All right. Either way, I'm on him.
Probably and then, bad, and then, yeah, and then I wouldn't go past just as a little sneaky $21 because Owens definitely does something to the judges on the Gold Coast.
Definitely. God, he's
just that big frame.
He's getting in Wilco territory.
He is, isn't he?
If he's not careful and he doesn't start mixing it up, he's getting in Wilco territory.
Yeah, gone are the days where he was the air guy, isn't it?
Yeah, he's just a big unit. He reminds me of our good friend of the show, Scotty. Big frame.
Big frame.
Very, very hard to get in the air. Charges and all that sort of shit, but I think he's...
I think it's that he knows that if he's on a right-hand point break, where's he going to get his scores? Doing a risky air or just going bang, bang, bang? So where's the, you know, look, do you reckon half of them know it, that it's they're not surfing to how they actually want to surf, they're surfing to how they think they should have to surf?
Oh, definitely. I think there's only a few people who don't, who go like, just go off. And those guys like Medina, John, Toledo, Slater.
Yeah.
To a point. Slater will do moves that you know he shouldn't be trying to do, but he just fucking doesn't. He just goes for it.
Yeah.
How is Slater at 26-1?
It's not a bad little bet. So he's pretty much doing because he's got his eyes set on the Olympics. So yeah, that's the reason.
He's looking old though. But when you look at US. Old. When you look at US surfers, he's probably going to get a run at the Olympics, mate.
Well, who's he got? He's got in front of him, he's got John Griffin.
And Kolohe, really.
I'd love Kolohe to do all right, but
Kolohe's got potential. I'm going to drop out of my 500, I'm going to drop 125 on Kolohe at 34-1.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no gone of the day. It's crazy looking at this and not seeing Mick Joel when you're looking at Quicksilver.
It is, but I got no issue with that.
Nah. I'd go like $200 on Italo. I reckon Italo will flare.
200. So that would bring us down to
we're gonna split this 500. So let's go 100 on Italo at $12.
So hang on. So we've got 75 on Yogurt Daughter.
Yeah.
Just a fucking complete dark horse. You got to have one.
Yeah.
So 75 on Yogurt, 125 on Kolohe fucking a shitload.
Yeah.
So that gets us to 200. And then you reckon load up on Italo.
Just 100 on Italo. And then that gives us 200 to play with where... Look,
Tell you who's an interesting one, who I reckon the judges will be a bit tired of his shtick, and I hate to say that, but they fucking, we're not, why would we just pretend at the Reed Pod and just say shit that we don't, you know, we've got to say the truth, are you? Like, I'm just going to say it as it is, but I think Mikey Wright, his shtick, I think it'll get a bit old this year.
Yeah. So this is his first real year on tour, though, isn't it? Because last year was wild card and stuff.
You know those big turns and shit? I reckon they've seen it now, and I think...
It's no surprise?
I just think, yeah, it's no surprise. Yeah, I just... I don't know.
Yeah. I'd go and... If it's small, and I've been harping on about it, I'd go Callanan for another. I'd just go...
Holy shit. Callanan.
Yeah, just for the backside. And he does throw it a bit. Like, he's not afraid when he's on. So he's kind of got that new school.
If we're going the Hungy, we go on a Hungy on Callanan then.
Yeah, and then we've got a Hungy left.
Hungy left. These are some of the worst bets I've ever been a part of.
Oh, of course. But we've got nothing to base it on. We just need to kind of let
And we're this... not, we could just go the favourites, but as you know, we don't do that on the read pod.
Yeah, we're just trying to light some of these. What do you reckon? So I wouldn't put money on Geordie ever again.
Oh, shit.
But what do you reckon? Do you reckon Geordie's ever going to have his chance?
I hope so. I mean, the big fella started learning how to go left last year, which was positive for him. It only took him fucking his whole career. I mean, this could be his year. He's in the Julian basket where I think they've missed the boat.
Yeah.
I honestly think they've missed it, and they're not in that – they're not in the Toledo, John and Medina – field, and they're not even close. Yes, at waves like Jay Bay he is. Yes, at waves like Bells he is. But other than that, nah, Geordie's done. I'm going to call it. Geordie's done.
That'd be interesting. I'm just having a look at what we've got this year. So we've got Goldie, Bells, then off to Bali in May.
Oh, good. Okay, instead of Margaret River. Okay, yeah. That's good.
No. Then back to Margaret River.
Oh, what?
Yeah, and then to Brazil, back to Jay Bay, Chopes.
Shout out to all our Brazil fans.
Yeah, back to the Surf Ranch. I'm not so sold on that unless they...
I'm not sold on the Surf Ranch at all.
Unless they pump it up a bit bigger, which we haven't seen any kind of signs of it getting bigger.
Nah, that's boring to watch as a surf event.
Yeah, and I don't like how they – I don't think they can get the format right. I think if they're going to have the Surf Ranch Pro, they need to go like what we're saying. Okay, so at that stage of the year, whoever's in the top 16, get that event. If you don't, sorry, you get a round one or you get a round two. And then you can actually see them not have – like getting two waves, like, you know, it's so unfair to the other people. Some people go there all the time. Some people, it's like Kelly goes, oh, who do we
Yeah, know? Oh, exactly, mate. Oh, hey, buddy, come to my surf ranch. Like, it's fucking stupid. Nah, get rid of the surf ranch.
Yeah.
I won't be betting on that shit, that's for sure.
Nah. And then France, Portugal, Park.
I'll tell you who did. Fucking destroy it at the Surf Ranch last year. A guy who I bet on a lot just as an outsider, Miguel Pupo, who's off the tour now.
Yeah, he did go right, huh?
He fucking rips. He's so underrated, that guy.
Yeah. When he first came on the scene, you were a big fan. I liked him as well. And then he just kind of, the confidence, something happened there with confidence and it just kind of.
Definitely. He's got silky smooth style for a tall guy. Like, he's got something about him. Yeah, I fucking rate him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nothing. It will excite me if they get waves. That's the only way it excites me now is if they get decent waves.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a window of so long that they need to be scoring, hey. And but the waves are on the tour this year. Okay, yeah, Karamas is all right. The mechanical waves, other than Chopu, don't really excite me. I'd rather them surf those beaches, like sick beaches where it's a bit more unpredictable. or heavy slabs. So, you know, Margaret River, early prediction on that. A Brazilian sees a shark. It's back at back at Uluwatu. I wonder if we can bet on that. What round the Margaret River Pro gets cancelled?
Oh, fuck no.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gotta be an interesting one, but we've kind of
We've got $100 left.
Yeah, did you work out where it's going?
I feel like there's a lot of hype around Jack Freestone.
Yeah, I was just looking at him. Just the hometown. Do we support
the hometown? And they've just, I feel like it's so 100-1, hot misses, super hot misses.
So hot.
So I'm just thinking we're just going to lay 100 on that.
Yeah.
So who we got? We got 100 on Jack.
100 on Ryan Callinan. 100 on Italo.
Something like that.
75
on Yogurt Dora.
And 125 on
Kolohe. Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, get down to your local betting establishments and get your bets in.
Yeah, and, yeah, just to make sure that these are not professional tips by any means.
And bet responsibly.
Yeah.
Email us at the Reid Pod, the R-E-I-D pod.
Yeah, if you've got if you got a sneaky tip that we're overlooking, please give us who you think's going to take out the Quickie Pro, and we're more than happy to look into it and tell you that you're wrong and you should take our picks.
Exactly. So, that's pretty much it. That's a beefy pod.
It is. And while we're on the gambling, so are we triple or nothing?
Triple or nothing. Oh, my God, we're not triple or nothing at the moment. But he's referring to we bet on the Swans. What was the bet? What has the bet been?
GWS versus Swans.
GWS versus Swans each year. As the listeners will know, I'm a massive Swannies fan, and GWS has been fucking us lately. I think we are triple or nothing, even though we lost. Swans always come out of the gate slow, so shit.
I'm just giving you a chance here.
Yeah, I'll take it. Triple.
Okay, triple on nothing.
It's gonna be a big night.
cheers.
But all right. Well, thanks for tuning in. What a resurgence! What a resurgence! Back to the pod. We're gonna start doing. We're gonna do some sort of show. Me and Ben. Yeah. We're just working through it. We're coming up with names, and we're just. Yeah, we've got to come up with it, but a more regular one, weekly, as of now, as of this week.
As of this week, so we're just working out. I'll probably next week's going to be a bit tough, but we're going to make it happen at some point. I've got to move bloody areas. I'm so excited.
And we're going to start a fantasy surfer group and get everyone in. We actually need to pod before we start that.
So we're going to set up a fantasy surfer on the fantasy surfer.com rather than the WSL, because WSL wants shit.
Yeah, definitely. And so that you can sign up to. We're going to call it something, and then there's going to be a prize at the end of the year.
Yeah.
We're not sure yet, but it's going to be fucking tasty.
Yeah. So, a prize for the winner and a prize for the. No, we're not going to give you a prize for the loser because someone.
The loser has to do something.
Yeah. Has to do something terrible. If you want to join, that's how it is. So, thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks for listening, mate. Talk to you soon, eh?
Sounds good, buddy.
Have a good one, everyone. Bye.